Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Blessing of Answered Prayer as we turn in our Bibles to the 30th Psalm,
beginning with verse 1.
And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
I will extol thee, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. You have not made my foes to rejoice over me. There were many who, when David thus sinned against Israel, had the plague not stopped, they would have overthrown David. I mean, they were ready to get rid of him. David was a popular king, but he also had his share of enemies, as well as his share of supporters. So he is rejoicing because the Lord did not allow his foes to rejoice over him. I cried unto the Lord, and he has healed me. O Lord, you've brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. David's life was threatened. It was in danger. And yet the Lord spared him. The Lord healed. It's always marvelous when we see the hand of God working to heal. And thus he exhorts, sing unto the Lord. O you saints of his, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but for a moment. David was being judged by God because of his pride in numbering the people of Israel. And God said, you can have a choice. You can be delivered into the hands of your enemy for 3 months or into the hands of the Lord for 3 days. David says, I'll take you any day. For his anger endures but for a moment, but his favor is for life. It's forever, God's favor. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. David was prideful. He was proud of the nation Israel, its strength, its power. That was the motive behind the numbering of the men who were capable of fighting. My prosperity, I said, I will not be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You did hide your face, and I was troubled. When God doesn't seem to answer, when God seems to be hiding his face, it is a difficult time. It's an extremely difficult time. God doesn't seem to be responding to my prayers. He doesn't seem to be answering my needs, and that's always a difficult time to go through. It is usually, however, a time of growing, faith developing, when I don't see, but I keep holding on. I cried unto thee, O Lord. Unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? You know, if I die, then my lips will be sealed by death, and they cannot move to praise you. Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? As long as I'm alive, I can praise the Lord. I can declare his truth. But my body, when it goes back to dust, they really didn't have a clear understanding of the resurrection. That was a truth of God that was clarified through Jesus Christ. It was a truth that was not really revealed that much to the Old Testament saints. Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me, Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth, which was the badge of grief, sorrow, and you've girded me with gladness. Beautiful, picturesque speech. I was wearing this old sackcloth of sadness. I was covered with sadness, that misery of sadness. But Lord, you've clothed me with gladness. Turn my mourning into dancing. The beautiful prophecy concerning Jesus, that work of Jesus to comfort all that mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's sort of a sequel to this particular psalm there, as David declares what God has done for him. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. 31, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. It is thought that this psalm was written at the time of Absalom's rebellion. Let's see if we can find hints of that within the psalm. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For you are my rock, my fortress, Tsur and the Selah. The Tsur was Tyre, and the Selah was Petra, the fortress, my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Thy name's sake, again, the name of the Lord, the Yahweh, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for you are my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit, that thou hast redeem me, O Lord God of truth. Jesus used this phrase. It was the last utterance from the cross. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. David is probably not talking about death. He's talking about life. And committing my life to the Lord. He's faced with dangers. The enemies have risen up against him. He's not certain of the outcome. He's calling unto God for help. But then he is doing one further wise move, and that is he's just committing himself to the Lord. It is when you get to the place of commitment that you finally come to the place of rest. When I take the issues and say, well, Lord, it's in your hands. You take care of it. Whatever comes, Lord, I'm trusting you. That is the place where my soul finally rests, when I can commit my issues fully unto the Lord, commit the issues of my life into his hands. Lord, you take care of it now. I'm just placing it in your hands, and I'm willing to accept however the situation turns out as God's plan and God's will. So I'm really not worried one way or the other. If it goes against my plan, that's the way the Lord wants it. So, Lord, your will be done. If it falls in line according to my desires, praise the Lord. That's great. It's the way the Lord wants it. But I'm willing to take either side and accept it as from the Lord. Because, Lord, I'm turning it now over to you. I'm placing it in your hands. And you work out your will in this thing. And then I can rest. Where we often get into conflict, where we often get into striving, is when I'm insisting that God do it my way. And maybe God has a better way, but I want it my way. It's always a dangerous position to be in because it's a position of strife so often. Because we so oftentimes make the mistake of facing the problem and then working out the solutions in our own mind. And then my prayer is really that God will follow my directions. Here's the way I've got it solved, Lord. Here's the way you can work it out. And so I'm giving directions to God. And my prayers are direction prayers rather than direct prayers. Now, God may, and God often, and I'm amazed at how often God has another way of working. I thought I had figured all the angles. And God has another way of working, and when he works it, I'm amazed at how simple it was and how much better than the way even I had it figured out. But in the meantime, I went through such a hassle because I thought, well, God isn't listening to me. God isn't answering my prayer. I asked God to do it this way, and he's not doing it that way. And yet, he's working out a plan that is so much better, so much wiser. And when it's all over, I said, wow, how did you do that, you know? Why didn't I think of that? You know, that was so wise. Surely I should have thought of that. So David commits his ways to the Lord. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And again, that isn't talking about salvation of, you know, like we talk about, I've been redeemed, I've been saved. He's talking about saved from a situation. You've delivered me out of this situation, redeemed me out of this situation. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. There are several references in the Bible to lying vanities, and it might be an interesting little Bible study for you to get a commentary and look up the different references to lying vanities. An interesting subject indeed. The prophet Jeremiah was told by God to go stand at the gate of the temple and cry to the people as they were going into worship, "Trust not in lying vanity, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." Jonah learned the most important lesson of his life a very hard way. 3 days and three nights in the misery of the belly of that whale as that thing was sounding, going down into the depths. As he was in that hot, humid place. And you can be sure the humidity was horrendous. And he talked about the waves rolling over my head, seaweed wrapped around my face. And then after 3 days of this misery, he finally cried, "Uncle, I've had it. Okay, Lord, I'll go." For 3 days, he's saying, "No way. I'm not going to go to that place in Nineveh. No way." But then he said, "They that observe lying vanities," again, that word, lying vanities, "forsake their own mercies." There are a lot of lying vanities or empty lies. The lying vanities that Jonah was being deceived by was he thought he could run from the presence of God. You can't run from the presence of God. The psalmist said, "Where can I hide from thy presence, O Lord? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I descend into hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I flee to the uttermost parts of the seas, even there you surround me." Twice it says he was trying to hide from the presence of God. That's a lying vanity. It's just foolish that you can't do that. He thought he could run from the call of God. You can't run from the call of God upon your life. That was a lying vanity. Now, in following these lying vanities, trying to hide from the presence of God and run from the call of God, he just got into all kinds of misery. And that's what he's saying. They that observe or follow a lying vanity forsake their own mercies. You make it hard on yourself. You make it tough on yourself. And so here the psalmist declares, you know, his dislike for those who follow lying vanities. His trust will not be in a lying vanity, but his trust will be in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for you have considered my trouble, and you have known my soul in adversities. David had adversities aplenty. And yet, through these things, he discovered the mercies of God. You have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, but you have set my feet in a large place. You've enlarged my borders. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul, my belly. I mean, I'm miserable, Lord, the grief. My eyes are sore from crying. My soul, my belly just aches from the sorrow that I'm going through. For my life is spent in grief. Now, it's interesting how that, have you ever noticed that just a week of having a problem, say you've broken a leg and after the first week, you can't even remember ever being able to walk without pain? And somehow you think, I'll never be able to walk without pain again as long as I live, you know. I mean, it seems like forever. A week of pain, a week of suffering as a way of just stretching like an eternity. And you wonder, I wonder what it was like not to feel pain, you know. I wonder if I'll ever be the same again, you know. I know, I wonder if I'll ever get over this thing. And so here, David says, my life is spent in grief. He'd probably been going through some grief for two or three days. But it has a way of just making you feel forever, you know. That's the way it works on you. It's like, man, I've never had a good day in my whole life, you know. I feel so miserable today. My years are spent in sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Over in this 32nd chapter, in verse 3 of chapter 32, where here again he is talking about his unconfessed sins and the effect of trying to hide his sin, not confessing it and getting rid of it, but trying to hide it. When I kept silence, that is, I would not confess my guilt, I would not confess my sin, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. So here he speaks about the bones waxing old. Here in the scripture that we're considering, my bones are consumed because of mine iniquity. And the relating of the sin, the iniquities, to the bones of his body. And I was a reproach among all of my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. I mean, they were really getting on David's case. And a fear to my acquaintances. They that did see me fled from me. I mean, man, I was in big trouble. No one wanted to have anything to do with me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. I mean, of no value. You drop one of those old clay pitchers and, man, you just kick the thing aside. There's, you know, get rid of it. You can't glue it together. I mean, it's gone. And David is going through the real, you know, pity party here. You know, man, you can't get much worse. I'm forgotten like a dead man. I'm like a broken vessel. I'm a reproach to my enemies, but even my neighbors are on my case. Everybody's fleeing from me, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me, and they devised to take away my life. They were conspiring to kill me. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those that persecute me. I love that. Here he is faced with all these problems. People conspiring against him to kill him. They're slandering him. But yet, Lord, my times, they're conspiring to kill me. They're wanting to cut me off. But my times are in your hands. I sort of have a feeling that God has a plan for each of our lives. And as long as we are fulfilling those purposes that God has for us, he's going to sustain us until we've accomplished that purpose. He's going to take care of us.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson, as we continue to see the Lord as our fortress. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse venture through the Psalms. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing comments.
God bless you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Love the Lord, ye his saints. Give glory unto God. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Commit your ways and your life unto him. Let God rule and let God reign. And may you feel and know his presence, his love and power working in your life as he molds and transforms you into the image of his Son for his glory.
As I look around for a godly example of what a Christian woman should be, I see a lot of women who are concerned about what they look like. But rarely do I see a woman who desires the reflection of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, Kay Smith has written a book for women entitled Reflecting God. Kay teaches women godly attributes, such as how to be joyful when things aren't going so great, or how to be sincere when praying for others, or inspiring them, or how to nurture and influence the people God has placed around you. As Kay teaches God's attributes, women will begin to have the mind of Christ. And as this starts to happen within you, outwardly you will become a reflection of God to a world that desperately needs him. For more information on how to order the book Reflecting God by Kay Smith, as well as an optional study guide to lead a women's Bible study, visit thewordfortoday.org to see a preview of this book, or call us at 800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.